Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at McIntyre's in Webster, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
For having us out here, McIntyre's in Webster in the area. Swing on by. That lady has a kitty cat. She's got a kitty cat right there. At the end. Is that a, what would you call that? It's kind of a bowl.
Cat carrier?
It's like a dome. It's like a back dome.
It's kind of sweet.
It's the eighth wonder of the world. How do you know it's sweet?
It looks cool.
Oh, the backpack.
Yeah.
Huh. That's cool. That's awesome. I like it. It looks like a little kitten, though. It looks very new, that kitten. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Texans U Stadium is the Barry Center in Cypress, says a junkie. Barry Center is the mecca of high school football. The players should be the ones complaining about the location. You're right. The dudes that are multimillionaires should be complaining that their new facilities are going to be on the outskirts of the greater Houston area, and they have a three-year forewarning. They should be up in arms about it.
I mean, there will be some that are annoyed, but they'll be fine.
I'd rather live in Bridgeland. Than anywhere near NRG.
I can't wait for the hot take of this hurting them free agency.
Like, where do you think the players live now?
Heights. Downtown.
Like apartments, maybe?
I was thinking a lot of athletes seem to live in Pearland.
Yeah.
Because you just take 288 right, and you're right there.
Yeah. They're already living in the burbs a bit. Pearland's a close drive to NRG. Yeah. That's 15, 20 minutes unless you catch traffic. But they'll instead of living in Pearland, they'll live in Cypress.
Yeah.
Not a huge difference.
Yeah.
Not a massive difference.
It's not. So
they'll figure it out,
but it's
I
a big difference
you.
For Joe.
You're right.
And that's what matters
but
here.
I'm referencing this junkie that said the players should be the one complaining about the location.
No, they can get new places.
Poor millionaires are going to have to move from Pearland to Cypress.
Yeah, it just means
believe it.
When you sign your new lease, don't sign it for 3 years. Sign it for 2 years.
Sell your eight-bedroom house in Pearland and buy an eight-bedroom house in Cypress.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to build some luxury apartments out there in Toro Town Square or whatever they're calling it, Toro District. Cal needs some more space for paintball.
Please.
I live in Cypress. It's such a booming area that it makes sense. Tons of things to do in the area. Also, I think that Howard Hughes might have given them like a pretty sweetheart of a deal.
Yes, for sure.
So that probably helped a lot. Harris County was part of the negotiation, so I think it's very clear that Harris County didn't want them to leave the county. I don't really know the purpose of that. Maybe they talked about like the jobs. They're gonna create a lot of jobs and business. So I guess the county's looking out for the best interest of the county. So that makes sense there. They probably did get a sweetheart of a deal. As an interlooper, anything outside of Beltway 8 in any direction is too far out of town for me to want to go. See, I'm not an interlooper. I can't relate to that life. Connor Wigman, noted Bridgeland alum. How could I forget? I'm embarrassed that I forgot.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Go Cougs. I'm embarrassed that I forgot that he was a Bridgeland alum. I never saw him play at Bridgeland, though. That's probably why I forgot. But he played baseball there, too. Two-sport athlete, Connor Wigman. Two-sport athlete. No position to play.
Just like Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Yeah, except...
very similar.
Pitcher.
Yeah, except where they went in the draft. No. Didn't pitch.
Left field.
Nope.
Second base.
You going to say every position until you hit
base.
It?
Nope.
Catcher.
Nope.
Third base.
Nope.
Shortstop.
That's it. You got
there
it.
We go.
I knew you were going to get it.
Yeah, there's only nine to go through.
Another junkie. Bridgeland is one of the best marching bands in the state of Texas, if you're into that. Brian is. Brian's a big fan of the marching bands.
I was in marching band in school.
Cal McNair. What'd you play?
Trombone.
I knew it.
How do you mean you knew it? Did you guess?
You look like one that would play the trombone.
I would have liked to.
The joke would be to say I look like I play the tuba.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know instrument jokes. Sorry.
Nerd alert.
Cal McNair. I don't know trombone.
Trombone. What an accent.
Cal McNair saying H-Town needs to be a drop immediately.
We can make that happen.
Hello, H-Town. Bridgeland is fairly new. How new, though? I think it's been around for like 8 years.
Okay.
That still feels new.
That's a city
that's only been around for 8 years?
I would classify that as new.
I would call it a city.
Well, God, if it's not even a city, I think that makes Joe's point.
It's going to be a city now.
No, it's a community.
It's an unincorporated area?
No, there's people that live there.
You can still be unincorporated and have people live there.
No, they're in Cypress. It's a community in Cypress.
Okay.
Just like the Woodlands are a community in Shenandoah.
Okay.
It's similar to that.
I thought it was reversed, but.
Howard Hughes is the developer for the Woodlands and Bridgeland, by the way. He's the guy who developed both of them.
Okay.
Junkie says the house that CJ built too soon. Is he going to be around when they move there?
I don't
2029?
That's a good question.
When they're moving into their new
digs? I feel like it's less than 50-50.
I think, yeah, he might not even be a Houston Texan then. The house that's Francis built. LOLB Mac is a band geek. Makes so much sense. Yeah.
USA scored again, by the way. They're currently covering.
I would have changed the subject, too. So do you think this is a precursor to a new stadium for the Texans?
I do. I mean, they hired a president last year that's been part of building stadiums in the past. It's not a great experience, I think, for anyone going to NRG, frankly. I don't really know anyone that loves dealing with the parking, the entering, the leaving. It's not fun. It's a nice stadium. The stadium itself is fine. Also, I think the Houston Texans want Super Bowls. I don't think they're going to get any more at NRG. All these new stadiums being built that are domes, they're going to move down the list. And then it's also probably just, time for an upgrade. And it sounds weird, but think about the Atlanta Braves. They've been in three stadiums in my lifetime. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But they've been in three stadiums. So, the Texans, I think, are a bit due for it. And they're only using 22 of the 83 acres that they're getting here in this deal for the facility in the new park. So, yeah, I think this is kind of a preemptive move to where it won't be long before we're talking stadium.
I think they will eventually, too. I think they'll eventually get a new stadium. Harris County really wants to keep them at NRG. What was it, after the tax refund, they pay, nothing in rent to play there? That's pretty nice.
You'd have to get a similar deal.
That's pretty nice for an owner. Yeah, I think it's a precursor. In our lifetime, the Texans will play in a new stadium.
Yes.
So it's going to come at some point, in my opinion. Now, there's only three teams in the NFL that have their facilities at their stadium currently. Texans are one of the three. Panthers and then the Bengals, who are notoriously cheap.
Yes.
So, we'll see. Junkie says, I was reading Adam Schefter's post on Facebook. That's weird that that's where you get Adam Schefter news, by the way. It's weird to me that you get Adam Schefter news on your Facebook. But nonetheless, I was reading Adam Schefter's post on Facebook about the Houston's new facility. There was nothing but hate comments. Why would Houston ever build something like that? They're never a good team. Dog in the Texans.
I mean, Facebook's a pretty nasty place for the Texans, I would say. So I'm not too surprised.
Maybe Cal could break out his old Erector set and start the new stadium build. Gillette Stadium is an hour from Boston. Hashtag Patriots South.
I've heard their drive
is
terrible.
Patriot Way.
All Jasper. I know, that means we're going to get a photo op of Cal putting shovel in dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I can't
the hard
wait.
Hat? Oh, he's going to have the hard hat on.
He's going to be breaking dirt.
I cannot wait for that.
Well, Cal McNair, he's not used. He's not it's not foreign to him to get his hands dirty.
His hands are calloused.
Cal McNair's had his hands dirty many times.
But that photo's going to be
he's worked.
Guess.
Cal, if there's one thing, and I know we make fun of Cal, we like to have fun with the way he talks, but if there's one thing I can say about Cal is that he has earned every single dime to his name.
Mm-hmm. All of
every single dime to his name. Bandwagon says, for perspective, the Falcons' headquarters 44 miles from the stadium. No, it's not foreign. This is something that NFL teams are doing. They only go to their home stadium for home games. So it's eight times a year during the regular season, maybe
nine,
twice in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So upwards of, if you play a playoff game, or I mean preseason, not playoffs. So if you host a playoff game, you're going to the stadium 10 times a year.
As a fan?
No, as a player.
Well, they practice there.
They won't if their facilities are 45 miles away.
Are they meant currently? Okay.
No.
If
your facilities are far away, you're going to the stadium 10 times a year. So it doesn't matter that they're far from the stadium.
Yeah. It's not
And
really
you're staying
an issue
in hotels the night before home games anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not – none of it's an issue for, the players, the team, whatever. It's just a moneymaker for the Texans. They project this to, be something that they can – own a lot of whatever's being built and make as much money as humanly possible, which is a good thing for everyone, honestly.
Cal, well, Chopper from River Oaks, he's not affected. Probably true. Cal operating one of those Bobcat mini skid steer excavators, absolutely classic.
I'd love to see it.
That would be awesome. I feel a Tommy Boy scene coming during groundbreaking. Traffic in Bridgeland is already bad. CJ may have a panic attack with all the chaos. That's the text of the day. CJ Stroud not able to handle pressure.
Okay, he might not
He's not going to be able to handle the traffic, although he might not be there in 2029. That's a good point. All right, 713-780-3776. Fearmonger Rome, back at it again. Tell you what we mean next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live at McIntyre's in Webster, thanks to Yingling on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at McIntyre's in Webster. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Watching the match, the Olympic, this is the first one of pool play. Americans are rolling Latvia. Can you use the word rolling in hockey?
Yeah, why not?
They're rolling.
Is it a roll?
They're rolling Latvia. 5-1, it's 3.5 is the spread. Brian's heavily sweating that. But thanks you to Yingling for having us out here at McIntyre's Webster. If you're in the area, swing on by. Sign up to win the giveaway, the flyaway.
Yes, you can sign up now. The Yingling ladies are here. If you can't come out today, we won't be at all of these, but there will also be opportunities on February 25th at the McIntyre's in the Heights, back here on March 3rd, back to the Heights on March 8th, and then back here on March 10th as well. So there's plenty of opportunities. If you can't come out today, one of the McIntyres on the 25th, 3rd, 8th, or 10th are opportunities to sign up as well.
Yeah. Heritage Film Commercial is the most cringiest radio commercial ever.
That's my favorite commercial.
Yeah, it's my favorite, too.
Chance is money.
But the fact we're talking about it is
free advertising.
Boom. It's why it is the way that it is. So Chandler Rome's fear-mongering again, guys. I think Chandler Rome's now fake news.
Okay.
I still trust his reporting. Although was the Justin Verlander thing,
hesitation
was
there.
The Justin Verlander thing a report or was that a take?
I think it was a take.
I do too.
See, that's why I think,
do too. That's I why think, I hesitated, but I yeah. do think that was a take.
Well, I think like from like a big picture journalism question, a lot of times it's confusing now.
Oh yeah,
like even like hearing like Rosenthal on his podcast on Foul Territory as well. There's times where he says things, and I'm like, is that a report or is that?
I guess unless they say sources say or like yeah. some indicator of a report, then you got to take it as a take.
But you know they have so much information that it feels like their takes are usually built on sources.
Sure.
Right? So it's always a little bit hard to differentiate now of like what's what from these guys.
Yeah, but I would agree with that.
But Chandler's felt like more of a take.
About the Verlander thing.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And it is a blurry line. But here, and it's always the scope of it's always a little bit different, right, from like the three guys. The beat writers I'm talking about, and the three beat writers that I talk about that follow the Astros on a daily basis, Chandler Rome, Brian McTaggart, Matt Kawahara, and they all do great jobs as journalists, but there's always a little bit of a different feel about them, like kind of neutral, kind of positive, and then Rome's more the negative side.
Sure.
Christian Walker talked to the media today. I listened to it. Sports Talk 790 tweeted out the video. Christian Walker talking for 9 minutes to the members of the media. Listen to it. They're doing a good job covering spring training on their Twitter account. But Walker talking, we'll play a little bit here in a second. But just looking at the tweets from Chandler and Brian McTaggart on what Christian Walker is like, because they're not going to tweet every single word that he said, right? They're not going to transcribe his 9 minutes talking to the media
and
then tweet out all of it. So they're going to kind of take, like, the one biggest thing from what he said to, like, be this is the story of Christian Walker holding court inside the clubhouse at spring training on the first day of his arrival. McTaggart, Christian Walker, 10 pounds lighter and a doting father, has brushed aside trade rumors and is committed to turning it around for the Astros. Quote, I'm here for the team. I'm here to win a World Series. All right? So the quote that McTaggart grabs, I'm here for the team. I'm here to win a World Series. Chandler grabs the quote where he says, my goal is to play every day and be the everyday first baseman.
A little different
perspective.
We got
like left wing, right wing sports journalism going on in the city. Like we got one fear mongering and the other talking about like how great of a teammate he is.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating to see the difference between the two. And something that I caught Rome doing the other day was when Joe Espada was talking about Yordan Alvarez, where he's like, Yordan Alvarez is going to play left field. He's going to see time in left field. It is my job to make him the DH, see most of his action at DH. Paraphrasing. Rome left out the part where Yordan's going to play left, which lead, I mean, Chandler Rome's lead story the entire offseason has been this infield surplus and how, what's the word he used? Untenable?
Yes.
And how this, it's untenable and the roster construction is so bad. That's the narrative he's pushing. And Yordan being a DH only helps that narrative because if Yordan plays a little bit of left field, it eases some tension and it creates more at bats for that surplus. So Rome selectively left out that Yordan's going to play left. So this quote that he posted on the internet today, again, is splicing quotes, Joe. And I'll read it again, and then we'll play what Christian Walker said in a minute. My goal is to play every day and be the everyday first baseman. Y'all got it? Christian Walker, my goal is to play every day and be the everyday first baseman. Now let's play what Christian Walker said.
My concern and my goal is for this team to be the best it can be this season. All of us want to play every day. Every single guy in this clubhouse wants to play 100.
All right. Just left out that part, Joe.
That all of us want to play every single day?
No, you just know the beginning. He said, my goal is for this team to win games.
Yeah.
He just left that part out.
Yeah, he did.
Just left it out. Selective grabbing, and it's in the same sentence.
It's weird.
This is the second time he's done it to, again, push his narrative that a lot of the fans are just, you know, grabbing onto, that the Astros have this untenable infield surplus that cannot be fixed. And for the second time, fake news, Chandler Rome has selectively taken words out of a quote to help propel this fear amongst the fan base.
I mean, he's pushing it. Like, he's got his slant. Like, he clearly thinks that it's, as he says every time he can, untenable, that it's not going to work, that players are going to be upset. And, I mean, Christian Walker, like, he's not going to publicly say it even if he was. But I still think, I don't think the players in general, like, are that concerned right now. I think there's also, like, some self-awareness of what we talked about with the injuries on their roster. And, like, my goal is to be the everyday first baseman. I think that's also, like, in a way, kind of an acknowledgement of, like, I have to play well to be the everyday first baseman. But, yeah, right. It's selective quoting is the way to put it.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. I think it's just it's selectively removing things that people said to propel a narrative.
It's intentionally not telling the whole story.
Yes.
And it's not like he's using, like
Jeremy
all his Led, characters.
Jeremy Ledwith, you know, he's a very good journalist, and I'm not saying he's not. But when you multiple times intentionally tell a partial story to fit your narrative,
yeah,
that loses some journalism points.
Yeah,
and yeah, it does.
And that's where it's like, I kind of wish, like, I guess you're going to get more clicks if you're going to tweet it out that way instead of just, like, tweeting out the full video. But it's strange. Like, it doesn't really make any sense of why you wouldn't include everything in it because – besides the fact that, like, you have a slant on a story that you're looking at and you're kind of pushing that. Like, there's really no other way to look at it. Like, he has his view of what this infield situation is and how it's going to play out or maybe how he thinks it should play out. And he's kind of pushing that along. I like the 10 pounds lighter, though, for Christian Walker.
He said 10 pounds lighter, which I think he just gave them to me, which whatever. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the sound, I do want to say the sound was courtesy of Sports Talk 790. Their Twitter, they're doing a good job covering the Astros. Their Twitter doing a fantastic job. I just do want to give the proper attribution?
Yes.
What's the word? I think it's attribution.
Yeah.
I want to just give it. I just wanted to be clear on that. And that's where I pulled the auto. 713-780-ESPN. Junkie says this roster is not good. I think the starting pitching will be okay. The pennant lineup is not good. Altuve, Yordan, Correa, Walker, another year older. See, I think that the offense has a chance to be good, but maybe I am not putting enough significance on the riddled injury history. Because if I mean, we ran out the lineup the other day. If you just go around the horn. This is not batting order. This is going to be your most of the time. Not even most of the time, but these are your best nine offensive players, right? Yiner, Walker, Altuve, Correa, Pena, Sanchez, Yordan, Altuve, combination of them in left. Isak is going to DH and play all over. Myers in center, Cam Smith, Zach Cole factoring in right. Cole Smith might factor in other areas. I don't hate that lineup. I really don't. I don't hate it at all.
No, I think good's is the right word to use. Like, can they be good? I think the answer is yes. I think they can be a good lineup. Can they be a great lineup? I don't think they can. With where the way they're currently constructed. Like, for them to be great, you need Yiner to take a big step up. You need Yordan to play 160-plus games. You need Cam Smith.
160-plus?
To be great? Yeah.
Wait, what did you say?
He said 160-plus.
To be a great lineup?
Jordan?
Yeah.
Nah.
I mean, he's got to play, I would say 140 and yeah, I think take it to the bank.
I would say the minimum of that, I'd say 140. 160 is too much.
I don't think so. Like, I guess, well, I think I'm factoring playoffs a little bit. But, like, you need your best guys out there. Jordan's part of it, obviously. You need Cam Smith to take a big step up to be more consistent. Like, he doesn't have to be as great as he was immediately, but to be more balanced throughout the career, where the highs are maybe as high as they were, but the lows are obviously not as low. So I think they can be a good lineup. I just don't know if they can be great next year. Like, and the injuries are a huge part of that. Like, I think you are at your best when you have Paredes in your lineup.
Same.
You need Christian Walker, second half Christian Walker, to be the entire year Christian Walker, if not incrementally better this year. So I think they can be good. Like, are they a World Series contender? We'll see. Their odds kind of keep plummeting the more and more we get into spring training. They were early on one of the top four teams in the American League. I think they're eighth or ninth at this point because Detroit jumped them after their moves this last week. So they can be good, but
yeah,
we'll see.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Junkie says, I've been saying this for a long time. Rome is a sniveling little bad word. Okay. All right.
Texter said that.
Another junkie says, Rome is a world-class farmer, and Astro fans fall for his shtick every dang tweet. I agree. I agree, man. Like, he always tries to stir the pot. Like, he did, like, the batter's eye thing, which maybe that was 100% accurate. He slid into my DMs whenever he did that.
With the batter's eye?
Yeah, he DM'd me. He's like, this is a thing. Players are talking about it. I was like, I believe that it's a thing. I believe that people are telling you this. I'm just mocking the whole thing.
Yeah, no, it was mock-worthy, but then they did repaint it two times?
Yeah, I think it was
times real.
I'm not disputing the authenticity of the reporting.
It was just ridiculous that all of a sudden the batter's eye became a focal point of our conversation of why the Astros did not win a World Series and struggled at home when it had not been an issue for the entire golden era up until that point.
Junkie says, I hate Rome, but without Rome type, sports radio would not have much to discuss. He's content. We create plenty of content here. If Chandler Rome wasn't stirring up this fake news offseason, we would probably stir up some fake news offseason. Branham threw Sanchez in there. LOL, you love Sanchez, even though he was not good as an Astor last year. I don't love Sanchez. I think the perception of Sanchez in this city, because he was terrible last year as an Astro, is not an accurate representation of who he is as a player. They were tinkering with his swing with 2 months left in the season. I don't know if you should be tinkering with a player's swing with 2 months left in the season for the first time that you've ever had him in the organization. I never loved the fact that they were doing that. Also, I think 2 months is too small of a sample size to take on a player who does have nearly 1,900 at-bats. Also, he is very good against right-handed pitching. Like, we ignore that because in the 2 months here, he was terrible. But Jesus Sanchez, and he's terrible against lefties. Like, he's unplayable against lefties. Like, let's be very clear on that. You cannot play him against lefties. If there's a lefty on the mound and it's his turn to bat and it's a game that's still in the balance, he should not step into the batter's box. But against righties, the dude has almost a 775 career OPS and almost 1,700 plate appearances. That's not nothing. You can't ignore that. And the perception of Jesus Sanchez in the city is that he's a bum. No, he has a place in baseball against right-handed pitching. And I want to see him with the new hitting coaches.
Yeah, my pushback with Sanchez is if I feel like they don't believe in him.
Dana doesn't.
Like, they want a new lefty bat. Like, they have a lefty bat. They clearly don't like him.
You say that, but they didn't non-tender him.
That's true. And they easily could have and saved some money that way.
Yeah, so they I don't think that you're, like, all the way wrong. But, like, I'm more of an action than, like, words kind of guy.
Yeah.
And even though Dana were like, we need a lefty. Well, he hadn't traded for a lefty. With Sanchez, he did offer them arbitration, which they settled. I don't know if you put any stock into that. I really don't. But they didn't non-tender him. He's still on this team. He hasn't been traded. So it at least tells you that they think that he has some positive value. Like, they non-tender Chaz McCormick. They're saying Chaz McCormick has negative value. He is not worth the contract he's going to get in arbitration or a number that we agree on. They said the opposite about Jesus Sanchez through their actions. They tendered him a contract. They agreed before arbitration on a pre-arbitration number, and he's still currently on this team, which tells you that while they might love him, they might see him as a bench outfield bat, they do think he carries some value at the contract he's on.
Yeah, and that's where it's – even if you add a lefty bat, like I guess he has a role in this team still, and then Cole doesn't. Like if they were to make a move and move Paredes off something, I feel like they would maybe then move Sanchez after for then another backup infielder. But, I mean, I'm open to the – like I want to see – I'm with you. Like I want to see what Sanchez looks like this year. Like, if you look at his career, the numbers are about where you want with what his role on this roster is going to be. So, like, for me, I got no problem with him being on this roster. I'm not super high on him either that he's going to be, like, a game changer for the Astros, but I'm curious what it's going to look like.
713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Junkies have some thoughts on this. We'll take your thoughts. Rome, fear-mongering, splicing quotes again. Also, we'll take a look at what this roster might look like on opening day as it stands now. Maybe a little lineup. There's a website that's it's MLB.com, not some website. It's the website that's projecting the what the Astros lineup could look like come opening day, which I don't really care about opening day lineup. I care what the majority of the lineups look like over 162. But we'll look at it nonetheless. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know what else I care about? Driving a quality vehicle, driving a trustworthy vehicle, a vehicle that you can trust. And I like to get a vehicle that I can trust at a price that I want, a number that I want it at. And that's what Monument Chevrolet does. Tell them their budget. They're going to work hard with you to meet that budget. Monument Chevrolet, the dealer you can trust, family feel. They have a great culture because they hire great people, the best salesmen in the business, a friendly atmosphere there, too. It's palpable the moment you step foot in their showroom, too. They're transparent with you. They're not going to hassle you over pricing. The whole process is going to be seamless for you, and that's why they've been serving the Houston area for 50 years. It's why they've been thriving in the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped bunches of families get into vehicles, and then these families keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Maybe it's a new Silverado, durable and dependable. Maybe it's the compact, stylish Trax. Maybe it's the Equinox. They got it all for you over there at Monument Chevrolet. Check out their website, monumentchevrolet.com, to check out their full inventory, or just go visit them in person. Monument Chevrolet has the vehicle you want at the price you want it at. A fair deal, a transparent deal, a no-hassle deal, no tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Get over to Monument Chevrolet, 225 and Beltway 8. Ask for GM Jeff. GM Jeff is great. You're going to love GM Jeff, and he's going to take care of you. Customer service is his game. Visit GM Jeff at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at McIntyre's in Webster. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Yeah, you're in the area. Good spot to stop by, have a cold one. Great food here at McIntyre's in Webster. Thank you to Yingling for having us out. And if you're going to get a cold one, get a long neck cold beer from Yingling. These flights, I tell you, 2.6 carbs, under 100 calories. You can't beat that. 713-780-ESPN. Chaz has a minus arm, and Sanchez has a plus arm. Carries weight in an outfield with another noodle arm named Jake Myers. See, I think we overrate outfield arms, especially from left fielder is the least important. Center field is the next least important. You do want an arm in right field because you got to make the throw from right to third when a runner going first to third. But of the defensive attributes for an outfielder, especially center field and left field, the arm might be dead last for me.
Yeah.
Give me range. Give me speed. Give me the fact that you're sure-handed. Like, is it nice to have an arm? Yes, absolutely.
For sure.
Is it critically important? No, it is not.
Yeah, I would take the range over the arm in center field every day of the week. It's way more valuable.
Yeah.
Especially with a guy in Cam Smith who's still learning. Certain days where you're going to have you're going to have Altuve, Yordan in left field. Like you want to have as much range in center field as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Like honestly, you could probably still upgrade from Jake Myers in that capacity, but he's good enough for what it is. Like
I think he's got good range. Really good range.
I would say I like Jake Myers.
I do too.
Like he's not one of those players that I'm like if the Astros moved on from him this last offseason and we're like, "Hey, we're going to trade him and, you know, roll the dice with Cam Smith and others in center field, I'd be like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But with him out there, like, I'm good with it too. Like, he's a good nine-hole hitter for you.
That's about how I feel with Jake. Like, I like Jake. I think he's valuable to a team. Also, would I like to see the Astros trade him when he's at his highest value? Also, yes.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I dislike the guy. It means I view players as commodities, and I like to trade commodities at their highest value. Doesn't mean I dislike you. I like you. But I 100% would have been okay with that as well. 713-780-ESPN, speed and intelligence, way more important in center or left. Agreed. Range, speed, kind of the same thing. Range, though, is more than just speed. Range is like, you know, the read off the bat, stuff like that. But speed, obviously, is very critical to that. Jasper's calling me out. Branham calling out. Content baiting is rich. SMH. Literally sent that as you were admitting that you do it, so I take it back, Jasper. The difference, though, is I don't fake news it. I don't take bits and pieces of quotes to spin a narrative that does not exist.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I'm all for farming. I think everything we do is farming engagement. Like, if you're looking for any, if you're in sales, right? You're in sales. What are you trying to do? You're trying to bring attention to whatever you're selling. Everything's engagement farming. Commercials on TV, like trying to farm engagement in whatever your business is. Mm-hmm. Everything is in newspaper writing, website writing, anything. Anything, trying to bring people to your game. Like, engagement farming is literally in every aspect of life.
Yes.
Unless you're like a farmer out in the ranch, you know? But if you're selling any crops,
you're still a farmer.
You're still farming. Yeah, you're a different kind of farmer.
You're farming engagement.
I didn't realize I did that. Sorry. I'm so just naturally funny.
I mean, I guess. You have your moments. you laugh a lot of your own jokes more than other people do.
I laugh at the stupidity of them.
Joe, how many things, if someone had said describe Branham, how many things would you say before funny?
Hey, easy.
That's a good question. I probably could do at least.
Would it make your Mount Rushmore?
I think I could do
things about Branham.
I think I could do at least 10.
I'm uncomfortable with this conversation.
I think I could do at least 10 things before I say funny.
Branham has an engagement ranch in Montana. I wish. Hitting the cutoff man is a lost art now, unless you have a bad arm. If you have a bad arm, you can hit the cutoff man pretty good. A bad arm, you have to play shallow. No, you don't. Why would you play shallow with nobody on base?
You got a cutoff man.
If you have nobody on base, why would you play shallow?
Yeah.
You're not playing shallow with nobody on base. So, like, people, like, take these very specific situations and then act like it's every single at-bat of a game. And be like, well, this is why it matters. Give me range, man. Give me range. Arm. I'm not saying that arm is unimportant. I'm not saying that, like, I would take a noodle arm over a cannon. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's one of my least concerning attributes for a left field center fielder, and I have other attributes that are way more important.
For sure.
You can do it all great. If you got the arm, great. But it's not one of the top things I'm looking for in a center fielder.
Yeah, if you're a Julio Rodriguez, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But those are hard to come by.
Yeah.
Those are hard to find.
Branham with Sanchez, you're being like Espada, back of the baseball card. Well, I think it's more important. I think his whole career is more important than just the 2 months in Houston.
Yeah, 2 months is it's a small sample size. Like, we would say the same thing about a prospect if they came up. You wouldn't write their story with 2 months. And the swing tinkering is a great point of just that. That's a bold move. Like, when a guy gets here, when typically guys do better when they leave, that you want to retinker their swing.
Yep.
I'm curious what's going to look at this new hitting staff.
I am too.
In general. With how different the approach will be, like if they can actually get, you know, chasing for, you know, not Altuve, he's gonna be Altuve,
yeah.
But like Yiner, like can you get him to chase less? Can he take a step like Pena did? Can Pena take another one with this new group in place? Because sometimes that voice in the room helps out a ton. But I feel pretty good. Like I'm hoping their number drops down a little bit more so I can hit it again.
The two guys that I'm most interested to see work with the new hitting coaches are Yiner and Sanchez.
Yeah.
And then, like, Cam Smith, too.
Oh, for sure.
Zach Cole a little bit.
For that reason, I would say I put Cam Smith number one.
Yeah.
Just because it's like he has such an adjustment to make from, you know, the second half of the season or most of his rookie season to this year. I'm really curious what he looks like this year because he feels like, to me, the difference maker.
And I would say Cam Smith has, like, the most room for upward potential.
For sure.
Like, I mean, like, yeah, I think Yiner and, like, Jake Meyer, some of these other names are closer to their ceiling than what we hope Cam Smith's ceiling is.
See, I think Yiner Diaz is an offensive ceiling.
I'm not saying he doesn't have any. I just, like, Cam Smith's, you know, what was after that Dodgers series in early July was one of the worst offensive players in baseball. There's so much room from there to where we thought his offensive potential was.
Yeah, I don't really have the pushback there. My pushback is more to I think that Yiner actually has a lot of room for his ceiling, too.
What do you think his ceiling is?
I don't think it's more than Cam. I mean, if you just go best of Yiner Diaz.
He had, what, 24 home runs that rookie year?
23, same thing.
23, okay.
But if you combine his home runs and his rookie, and it was on 104 games.
Yeah.
Like he did 23 and 104. He was hitting a home run almost every fourth game.
299 his second year.
Exactly. That's where I think his ceiling is. I think his ceiling's a 300 hitter that can hit 30 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a top.
He's shown it. I mean,
he's shown
he has the potential to do it.
I mean, he'd probably be second best offensive catcher in American League if he hit that. Outside of the big dumper.
I do think that's his upside.
Yeah.
I do think that's his upside. He's done it. I mean, he hit 23 home runs and 377 plate appearances, so he can be a 30 home run guy. He hit 299 in his sophomore year with regular playing time. He can be a 300 hitter.
You just have to find the mesh.
Yes.
To get it to happen together.
Even the year, he kind of lost power that second year for whatever reason, but he had 20 last year. Like, I think there's untapped power there. And he didn't have a good offensive year last year. Last year was his worst offensive year that he's had in the bigs. So I do think that he has that room to grow. Now, I hate his defense.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a catcher. I think he's Latino Evan Gaddis. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Willie, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's going on, Willie?
Yeah, I've called to talk about Sanchez in the lineup, but the thing about Sanchez, even though he went 0-25 at one point, 0-29, Dana just kept leaving him out there because he gave up a rookie pitcher for nothing to go get him. He only had 10 home runs when they bought him in 100 games. Even John Carnato know he sucked. You know, if John wouldn't know a baseball player if it bit him in the ass, the only thing he know about is drinking beer. Now, about the lineup, you always, Jeremy, you always talking about slugging and stuff. What a power coming from in the outfield and on the corners if Alvarez don't play left.
Appreciate it, Willie. They lack power in the outfield if Jordan doesn't get a lot of games in left. That is one of the weaknesses of their offense, no doubt. Unless Cam Smith can come alive, unless Zach Cole final month of the regular season is legit.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, there are a lot of ifs to the Astros having power in the outfield. If Jordan plays 40 games in left field, if Cam Smith develops, if Zach Cole is for real. No, and you're right about Sanchez. Sanchez has never been a home run hitting guy. That's why the Astros were tinkering with his swing. They wanted him to lift the ball instead of hitting the ball hard. Who was he insulting there?
Granato.
He was insulting Granato.
He said he wouldn't.
He wouldn't know baseball if it bit him on the ass.
Really?
Yeah. He said he only knows beer.
I didn't know who he. I couldn't hear him that great. I thought he was talking about me.
No.
So he said about Granato.
He said Granato.
I mean, of that show, who knows more? Who knows more
Granato
baseball?
He knows more baseball.
Granato.
Man, Willie's got an eye on Granato.
I mean, at this point, Granato's probably number two on the station.
Yeah,
he's number one. He's number one across the board and everything. He's the Godfather.
All right.
And I like my job.
I was
job.
Trying to compliment you, but
no, I like my job. Yeah, that's the concern, Willie. Their outfield slug is a concern, but. Like, it's the whole, what is it, the whole Billy Bean thing? Like, we can't replace him, but we can replace him in the aggregate. You know, maybe you get that power from the infield. Maybe Yiner has a big home run season. Maybe Walker is second half Walker.
Paredes
was pacing for 40 home runs.
Yeah, like, you have plenty of pop in this lineup. I think that's kind of an old school thought, Willie, a little bit, of, like, you got to have power in the corners.
I mean, it's nice.
It's nice, for sure.
I would love to have it.
But I think, as you said, in the aggregate, I think you can find it. Like, Correa still has pop. Altuve still has it. The Crawford boxes obviously helped the Astros a little bit. But, like, they still got plenty of pop at this point in the lineup. You like a little bit more.
I mean, the outfielders are probably going to bat 7-8-9. So, like, you can look at it from two different perspectives. Like, the optimistic – or the let's go pessimistic first, which I think Willie was the pessimistic, which – and I think it's fair. I do think it's fair. You're not going to have tons of power left field, center field, right field.
Mm-hmm.
Don't disagree with you, Willie. I think it's a sound take. The optimistic homer view of it is, well, those guys are going to be batting 7-8-9 anyways. You usually don't get power from 7-8-9 anyways.
Yeah.
So, like, that would be the counterpoint, more of an optimistic look, which I think is also fair. You know, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. A junkie says a 300 batting average, 30 home runs is Hall of Fame. If you do it every year, there's been plenty of players that have a rare 330 home run year that aren't even what we would consider good baseball players. Like Morgan Insberg, I think, had a 330 home run year.
He definitely
Jason
hit 30
Lane
plus.
Flirted with it one year.
He got to 27, I think.
I'm pretty sure Nick Castellanos had a 300.
Free agent.
Richard Hidalgo had a 40-plus home run
season.
He
might have been pumping a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so.
Castellanos had a 309, 34 homer year in 2021. Is Nick Castellanos a Hall of Famer? Of course not. He just got DFA'd today.
He did get DFA'd today.
You kicking the tires on that?
I'm slightly intrigued.
Yeah.
Like, if they were to get through, I'm curious how quickly he gets picked up.
But I don't think he'll be claimed. That contract's too big.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he'll clear waivers and be a free agent.
But like, so if he waits it out a little bit for an injury to see if he can get a little bit of a solid contract from someone, I'm open to it. Like, especially if you're at spring training, Jesus Sanchez isn't developing. He isn't. His swing doesn't look better. Maybe you bring him in then. Like, I'm not anti it, but I'm not gonna say like you have to bring him in either.
I looked into it. I'm not a fan. His numbers weren't very good. He was a below-average offensive player. He's not a good defensive outfielder anymore. Like, I'd rather go with Cole and Cam Smith.
Yeah.
I'm not That's intrigued fine. With Castellanos. If he was left-handed, it might be a different story. But I did look into it. I looked at the numbers, didn't like what I saw.
The story is also very funny. He brought beer into the dugout.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's why they let him go?
Yeah, he brought beer into the dugout, and then they had a confrontation after the game, and then they didn't play him the next day.
Who did he have a confrontation with?
The manager.
When did he bring the beer into the dugout?
I think he said in his post on Instagram it was like in June.
Was it during the game?
Yeah, he got like taken out of the game, so he brought beer.
Yeah,
into
that's
the
a
dugout.
No-go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You cannot do that.
Yeah, you can't do that, Castellanos. Junkie says I'd take Nick after clearing. You're certainly not claiming him because that contract's way too big. I'm not a fan of picking him up. I don't. He wasn't a very good offensive player last year. I didn't even know about the Cerveza in the dugout. Although, whatever. Like, can't do it. It's a no-no. But is it like a reason that I wouldn't sign him? No. Bradham's what's wrong with the spot? His lineup is going to be elite this year. I'm betting three changes a week. That's the other thing. People act like, well, this is the plan and it's never going to change. It's probably going to change after 2 weeks into the year.
Yes.
Like, what was the plan last year? Pena was hitting seventh last year on opening day, probably.
Yeah, he's probably going to be your opening day, your leadoff hitter opening day now.
I don't think there's any other choice. Not for Espada, anyways. I don't think there's any chance that Joe Espada writes somebody else's name in the leadoff spot on opening day if Pena's healthy.
Yeah, I don't. Unless you want Jordan. But, yeah. Like, besides that,
they
it's
won't,
Pena.
I don't think Espada will do that.
No.
Espada's going to bat him second if he had his way.
Yeah. No, but yeah, Pena will be the leadoff guy this year, which is good.
What are your thoughts on Kevin Alvarez? I like his profile. He's got a long way to go, but I've read good things about him. I like his swing. We'll see. Yiner's a DH in waiting. I would argue that Yiner already is a DH that is being forced to catch because this team has three DHs that are in their best nine offensive players. Mm-hmm. Jordan's a DH, Altuve's a DH, and Yiner's a DH.
See, that to me is like the bigger long-term question is at some point do you try to solve that problem of where, like, you've just got all these DHs on your roster. And obviously, you're not moving Altuve.
No, I don't think so.
You're not moving Alvarez.
No, I don't think so.
Do you upgrade a catcher at some point for your catching?
My thing, I think that they're just going to play out Yiner's club control years. He's got this year and two more, and then he'll be 30. I think they just let him leave after that year. And hopefully, from an Astros point of view and long-term planning, that he's good, so you can slap a qualifying offer on him,
yeah.
And then you get a draft pick compensation in the same vein they did for Fromber. Now, because the Astros were in the competitive balance tax this year, they didn't get a draft pick at the end of the first round. I think it's after the end of the fourth round. So that's the penalty of being over the competitive balance tax is that if you do slap a qualifying offer on a player, you don't get as good a draft pick.
That's such a soft penalty. Like if they
it
don't
is soft, yeah.
It's like I guess I don't know the point of it. Like is the goal to not have teams go over it? Because if that's the goal, then it's a soft penalty. If it's like one where like we're really not going to stop these guys from spending, so we got to slap something on them. It's fine.
I think it's a way to try to disperse talent because in theory, if you're going over the competitive balance tax, that means you're getting a good player.
Yeah.
So in turn, for getting a good player because you're going above the competitive balance tax, we're going to give you a lesser draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, which makes sense. Like, I think you have teams that just don't care. I think the Dodgers gave up.
Because you lose picks if you sign a qualifying offer guy.
Yeah, the Dodgers lost two picks this year.
Astros lost a pick last year.
Yeah.
When they signed Walker.
And they also gained a first-round pick this year, too, because of Hunter Brown.
Yeah, the that's the PPI?
For the Cy Young, yeah.
Right, I think it's called the PPI.
Is that what it's called?
Player Program Incentive. I think it's the PPI.
Oh, yeah, I think it's part of the with like the rookies which, coming up early and things like that.
I think the PPI is flawed.
Why?
Because you have to be a top 100 prospect. Like, you have to be a top 100 prospect in, like, at least two of the three major publications. So, if let's just assume Hunter Brown wasn't a top 100 prospect. He wouldn't be eligible for PPI, which means even though that he finished top three in the Cy Young, the Astros would not have gotten a draft pick because he wasn't eligible for the PPI because he wasn't in that player pool.
I wonder, which is dumb. I wonder if Cam Smith will qualify.
He will qualify? Yeah, he does. Because he could have given you a draft pick if he won Rookie of the Year. Now, he still can give you a draft pick.
Yeah.
If he finishes top three in MVP at any point, which that would be awesome.
That would be very awesome.
That would be neat if he was in the Hall of Fame, or if he was top three. If Jordan Demands, actually.
Damn.
I don't even know. That's not even a word.
Damn.
I'm just going to pick you up here. If Jordan Demands left field playing time, would you trade him?
No,
I would play him in left.
I'd play him left.
I'd play him in left until he got hurt. That contract's too sweet. Like, they got one over on Jordan whenever James Click signed that contract extension. That is the most affordable. Now, he always gets hurt, so it's kind of like why you have to hesitate when you say this. But Jordan's salary for what he can be is...
It's one of the best in baseball.
Yes. It is like, one of the best in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, Acuna's up there, too. He was 8 years, $100 million when he signed his deal with the Braves, which is a pretty sweet deal for them.
Yeah.
Also injury-prone a lot, it seems like. But, yeah, the Jordan deal, it's incredible. I just, it's also weird because like if you hit the open market, people look at the contract and be like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then they go, yeah, but he doesn't play a lot.
I know.
But trading Jordan Alvarez would be the last thing I would want to do.
I would do it at some point. You know how I feel about this. I like to trade players before they leave you for free.
Sure.
And even though you can get a competitive balance, you can get a qualifying offer draft pick. I would still trade him if you can get a greater return than what that compensation draft pick would be. I just believe in that. But Jordan still has too many years left on that contract for it to be anytime soon. He signed through 2028. So, like, the soonest that I would do it is in the offseason of 27.
That makes sense.
And I would have to get – again, I'd have to get blown away, though. Like,
yeah,
I'd have to get a king's ransom.
And I mean, way more than you got from Tucker, honestly.
Tucker was younger.
He is, but the immediate impact of Alvarez, if you were ever going to go down that path –
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would trade Jordan, but the time for me is not right. I would do it in the offseason of 27. And I'd do that with every player. Like, it's not specific to Jordan. I just do that with every player. I want to trade a player before they enter that final year of free agency if I get an offer that is worth more in my mind and more valuable in my mind than what I would get in draft pick compensation if they rejected a qualifying offer and signed with somebody else. But a lot of people hate that theory. A lot of people call me Tampa Bay Brandon whenever I say that. But, hey, Brewers are doing pretty good with it. Now, they haven't won a World Series, but they also don't spend money.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't spend like the Astros.
Like, I would do this and then spend money in free agency to have good players bridge for the young players.
Those gaps, yeah.
Yeah, like a Brantley contract. A short-term pitcher contract. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to a Fromber contract with that sort of model. Not with this team, because this team's kind of pitching rich-ish. A lot of threes, a lot of fours in this rotation.
Yeah, they have – it's like they have money – but they're not rich.
No.
They've got a lot of debt.
Yeah, there's a lot of mid to bottom of the rotation starters. They're not top heavy at all. 713-780-ESPN. Take a look at this roster projection I have. What the opening day lineup could be. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live at McIntyre's in Webster. Swing on by, courtesy of Yingling, live on ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.